It started with our congregation wanting to learn more about the Syrian situation. And we had a professor from Wesleyan, Mike Weiss, come and talk to us about the political aspect of things. And then they asked me to present about the refugees and the path the refugees were taking and the situation of being refugees and what did it take to come to the United States, the whole process, which was done on a Sunday morning when candidate Trump was at the airfield across the path.
So about April of 2016, of last mm-hmm. year.
Correct. So he was talking with people and I was talking with people.
Now, is it true that originally you were thinking of a Syrian family, bringing a Syrian refugee family?
Well, and from this education time, we decided to pursue it some more. And I had become acquainted through Lutheran Immigration Refugee Services of Refugee One. Incredible supports for people coming in, educational, vocational. Businesses in Chicago have worked with Refugee One for years, providing work. And I mean, it's just a magnificent organization. And another member of the congregation had also learned about Refugee One. So we connected with them, and we started putting kits together for refugees coming in to the Chicago area. And they had a workshop that six of us attended. And again, it was 160 people from mosques, temples, and congregations and community groups. And that's where we just learned more about it. And so from that, as a congregation, we decided we wanted to attempt to be a part of supporting a refugee family. But the family would have to be in Chicago. And so we had to find someone to partner with. And so we had to sort of scurry together a meeting, and we invited Kim Snoddy from Refugee One to my home to have a meeting to teach us more people about Refugee One. So that's how it got started.
Mary Beth Taylor, your faith community, New Covenant Community Church, joined this effort. Were you still looking to bring a Syrian family?
Very recently, we had asked Refugee One if they would consider at some point letting us have a family in Bloomington. And then this Congolese family had been working with Refugee One for 2 years. They have been in the States 2 years. I believe that's right, isn't it, Gretchen? Mm-hmm. And they weren't going to be able to stay in the apartment they were in. And we had told Refugee One that there was a substantial Congolese community here in Bloomington Normal. And it just occurred to them we could send this family to Bloomington Normal if the group working on it down there, which involved three faith communities at that point and other community members, was interested in doing that.
So Mary Campbell, you are involved in this effort too through your small faith group called the Sunday Evening Group. What about this Congolese family? Tell us a little bit about why they left the Congo, where they had been prior to coming to Chicago.
Parts of the Congo have been under extreme conflict for many, many years, decades probably. This family left and ended up in a refugee camp back in about 2003, I believe. And they have lived in the refugee camp since that time until 2 years ago when they arrived in Chicago as part of a refugee resettlement effort. Many of the Congolese who are in McLean County did not come as refugees. They came under other arrangement. But this woman has come through, this family has come through a refugee status. So for 2 years they've lived in Chicago, but they need more extensive support.
What exactly does that mean? Do you pay their rent? Who pays for their food? How are they going to support themselves? Mary Beth, did you want to answer that?
Yes, they will need some assistance from us, and they'll be getting some help from the government. The government does support to some degree, and they have the family has a child who has substantial medical needs. The state Medicaid program will help pay for those. But then they will need some assistance for a time until she can find a job and they can become more self-supporting from the community here. And so we'll be helping with rent and other things that they will need.
So Gretchen Snow, do people make a commitment to give a certain amount of money, or do they make a commitment to give furniture or other items?
Almost all at this point of the needs for the home itself have been provided by individuals donating it, providing all the furnishings and kitchen items and all the things you need to make a home have been donated. And then individuals have been donating through their faith group or directly to Refugee One, and then that money will filter through to the family.
So, Mary Campbell, am I understanding correctly that someone has actually donated a house for the folks to live in, or
no? It's housing, regular housing in the community. Subsidized housing is eventually the goal. The focus was to find a place where the mother could take care of the child with these extensive medical needs, and an area that was near other members of the Congolese community, so that the child and there's another individual. There's mom and two children. So trying to make a place for them. So it's right in the community, and it's not a home. It's a one floor unit that will allow them to live there.
So who pays the rent then?
That's where the support will come in. Initially, the money that's been raised from the three communities and others throughout the community will help to subsidize what she's able to provide. She's able to get some assistance from the government, and then the rest will be able to be provided for probably at least a two-year period through the faith communities until she can get the medical needs of her daughter taken care of, which will allow her to work more hours.
How can people in the community help you with this effort, even if they're not members of your own faith community? Mary Beth, did you want to answer that?
Yes, we certainly would welcome cash donations. Those will be very important in the years, and they can donate through New Covenant Community by writing a check to New Covenant Community and then put in the memo line refugee resettlement, so that our bookkeeper knows exactly what's coming in, and any level of help would be appreciated. We will be working with food pantries in the area to help with food, and the schools have been very, we've already talked with the schools, they've been very supportive and welcoming, as well as the medical community has been very supportive and welcoming.
And I imagine people can write checks also to Resurrection Lutheran.
And also people could go directly to Refugee One's website, and there's a page for the Bloomington Normal Resettlement Committee, a group, and can go directly to there if people are more comfortable with that.
Well, I'd like to ask all three of you. We live in an age now where there's this tremendous pushback against refugees. You have some communities that say we don't want any refugees at all in our community. Gretchen?
Well, my faith tells me to reach out to those in need. So that's been a part of who I am, I guess. But also the Syrian crisis definitely is what brought it to forefront. It just seemed impossible not to be responding. And the people within RLC, and it's not everyone, but a large group, just felt the same way. We had to find a way to respond. It ended up not being to Syrians, but we also came to understand the numerous people coming to the United States from many difficult situations. And so our hearts were just open to being a part of welcoming.
Mary Beth?
Well, for me also, my core beliefs, Christian beliefs and teachings, I think, say that we reach out to people in need, that we are so fortunate. Also, I think it's just who our country really is and has been from the beginning. We've welcomed strangers and refugees and immigrants, mm-hmm. and they have made our country the country it is, and they make such contributions here. This woman is just a fantastic person.
Oh, incredible.
So resilient.
The mother and the family.
Yes, yes.
And the children.
And the children, too. They're so resilient, and she'll bring a lot to this community.
Yeah.
And the children will, too.
Mary, your reasons?
I also think that a lot of us felt powerless, helpless, mm-hmm. when we saw the attack that was being put forth on individuals who were in refugee camps, on individuals who were trying to escape terrible, violent communities. I think we all felt pretty powerless and decided out of that mm-hmm. that the only way to get rid of being powerless is to do something. And so we also sort of started talking to each other and began to realize that as a community, we can do something. And it was this something that I think will make a difference. You know, that whole thing about the little boy that was throwing the fish, the starfish out into the ocean, and the man asked why, and he said, because, you know, it helped that one. And I think if we help this one, we are at least beginning the journey of helping not only other refugees, but ourselves to be better people.
What would you say to other congregations? Would you say this is something you can do? Absolutely.
It's just a wonderful community effort.
I was part of the resettlement of individuals from Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
And back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s, and many lived with us, and our lives were transformed because of their lives, and our country is better because they came. So it's a win-win.
Well, thank you very much for talking about this very important issue. You've been listening to Gretchen Snow and Mary Beth Taylor and Mary Campbell on the resettlement of a Congolese family soon to come to Bloomington Normal. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.